to Men in Charge. I'm Tony Flynn.
And I'm Kevin Decker. And as Tony intimated there, you're listening to the only radio program that has two hosts.
One of many of the only
programs. Yeah, the only one of many to have two hosts.
But having clarified the numbers behind our show, Kevin, this is one of your scripts that I think may crush the intellects of our frailer listeners. It may, as William Butler Yeats put it, offend their indolence. Could you explain the title and the background for this pseudo-historical event of yours?
So listeners who've been with us for the last few years will recall that we've introduced in a series of earlier segments the Schmalkaldic League. And the Schmalkaldic League existed in the 16th century. It was a real thing, and it brought together a military alliance to protect the Protestant states after the Protestant Reformation against the Catholic monarch Charles V, the head of the Holy Roman Empire. So I'm going to suggest that as you're listening to today's episode, which is the beginning of the whole team together, the whole Schmalkaldic League team played by some of our finest cast, that you have your handy every boy's guide to the Protestant Reformation sitting next to your radio table, because you're going to want to look some things up in it.
Kevin, I think it would be very valuable if you introduced some of the characters. They are introduced in the show, but perhaps if you pointed to key characters with their special abilities.
Right. Well, the first character who was introduced is the Countess Marguerite von Juxkull, a very hard-to-pronounce name that everybody has gotten really good at, which is I'm very proud of them. She has various mental and body-changing abilities. And whenever she's doing her thing, you'll be hearing the aquarium music from Saint-Saëns, Carnival of the Animals, which is very disturbing, creepy music. So her mental powers are on full display here today. We also have the character that Tony plays, which is Aldo Kresplasian, Hungary's cunning king of puppets.
I'm really good.
He uses marionettes, puppets, and wind-up devices in various disturbing ways to get himself out of scrapes. We also have a character who has all of his limbs, but is nonetheless called Mechtild of the Phantom Limb. He doesn't do this much in this script, but he uses his phantom limb to control carnival instruments like calliopes and organs and things like that to dark effect.
But it's only a phantom limb.
It's only a phantom limb. He thinks he doesn't have it, but he does in fact have it. It's really a visual joke, which is why it works so well on radio.
Radio is the most visual medium.
It absolutely is. And then last but not least, we also have Grimhilda of Tartu, who is a psychosomatic poisoner, saves on raw materials. She just convinces people that they've been poisoned or are dying, and she's persuasive enough that they believe her.
Well, you have a lot to look forward to, listener, and remember, there will be a quiz.
It's the Schmalkaldic League. Today's episode, Artificial Habsburgs. It is the year 1536 in a different world, but one much like our own. The Protestant princes of the Holy Roman Empire have formed a defensive alliance against the machinations of Emperor Charles of the Holy Roman Empire. Since every early modern defensive alliance requires a coterie of spies and scapegraces, the most powerful and morally compromised provocateurs of Europe have formed the Schmalkaldic League. Today, over strong black coffee and slightly stale brioche, the League's members are meeting in their secret apartment in Venice, just below the studio of Italian composer Ascanio Trombetti. Calling the League to order is the Countess von Juxkull, slim and sadistic master of the shape-changing arts.
Now, where exactly is the parchment with our latest mission from the princes of Hesse and Saxony?
Keeping diligent watch over his mistress, the Countess, is the vigilant golem butler, Mr. Dyer.
It's right here with your poison pen letters, madam.
Sitting across the table in her own cloud of brimstone-flavored smoke is Grimhilda, the psychosomatic poisoner.
Why isn't anyone drinking the coffee I brewed? Why do I bother?
And then there's Mechtild of the Phantom Limb, whose secret is he has all his limbs.
I put my foot down against this latest mission, but I haven't got one.
Don't be ridiculous, Mechtild. You know you're only delusional about missing an arm, not a foot.
And finally, Aldo Krasplasian, Hungary's cunning king of puppets.
Mr. Dyer, please elbow Herr Krasplasian to wake him up.
It would be just like Master to substitute a puppet version of himself again in order to avoid the briefing.
I'll be happy to jab him, but I'm missing...
An arm, we know!
Herr Krasplasian.
What did I miss?
Mr. Dyer, please hand out these maps among the group. Now pay close attention. Oh, will we ever get any relief from Signor Trombetti and his new musical invention?
You have to admit, it's kinder to the ears than the instrument our last host, Signor Theremin, invented.
Let me just pull my prosthetic arm off. And I'll bang it on the ceiling again. It won't come off.
Here, Mechtild, use my broom instead.
Back to business. Our secret informants report that Count Rudolph, the Habsburg political liaison with the mighty and independent forces of the Cleft Palatinate, has been out of the public eye for weeks. This may expose a weakness in the Emperor's security network. We're going to divide and conquer, as our friends in the Balkan countries often say.
What am I, Grimhilda, to do?
Well, the security around Count Rudolph's chateau in Metz is very tight. But you, my psychosomatic poisoner, are the best person to penetrate that security to see what is wrong with Rudolph. Meanwhile, I am sending you, Mechtild, and Herr Krasplasian, to the Dortmundstadt Fabrikwerke, an extensive automata factory town that Rudolph, very uncharacteristically, spent several days touring before his disappearance.
And what will you be doing, Countess?
I will remain safely here in lovely Venice to supervise the entire operation.
What?
I am only Draculia. How you say, messing with you, fair friends. The Countess has the most dangerous job of all, to infiltrate the Habsburg court itself by using my stoop-changer abilities to impersonate Marchioness Traubuckle of the Upper Palatinate. Good luck to us all.
Vienna, Dortmundstadt, and Metz. The Schmalkaldic League wing their way to the most exotic corners of the German-speaking world. Grimhilda travels by her special broomstick.
It's not a witch's broomstick. It's just made of lighters and air wood. It's science.
While Aldo Krasplasian and Mechtild soar over entrenched Catholic lines via flying basilisk.
I suggest you refrain from covering your eyes, Aldo. You must hold the basilisk saddle for safety.
I forgot to tell you, Mechtild, that I'm deathly afraid of heights.
Look, Krasplasian, I can hold tightly with my lone hand. I understand why the sight of so many Catholics below you looking up your kilt is absolutely terrifying. But...
And we join Countess von Uexküll in her luxurious carriage on the road from Venice to Vienna.
Mr. Dyer, slow down here. I think I see someone walking along the roadside ahead. The girl with the basket perched on her head.
Yes, ma'am.
You, girl.
Yes, madame. Have I done something to offend? I am, as you can see, on the road from Dunstadt to Eiffelheim with eggs to sell from my family's farm. My father is sick, you see, and...
Young woman, the details of your sorry tale are ones that I have heard repeated so many times that I, the Countess von Uexküll, think I could pass for the faithful daughter to a sickly farmer where I pressed to act the part.
Countess? What may I do for you, madam?
It is more what I may do for you. You could sell your eggs more quickly and perhaps at more of a profit, yes, if you arrived in Eiffelheim that much more quickly. Why don't you join me in my carriage?
Oh, I couldn't.
Of course you could, young woman. What is your name?
Teresa, madame. Teresa Gihorna, daughter of Valrad Gihorna of Dunstadt.
Mr. Dyer, please assist the young lady into the carriage.
Yes, ma'am.
Let us see, Miss Gihorna, if we may be able to assist each other.
Ah!
But what about the adventure of Grimhilda, the psychosomatic poisoner, as she soars on her broom over Europe? Well, that's disappointing. But through the literary miracle of the omniscient narrator, let's turn to what's happening with salient characters who aren't members of the Schmalkaldic League. In his towering castle Erie, perched high above the river Ruhr near Dortmundstadt in North Rhine-Westphalia, where the ground is littered with the bones of his enemies, Count Crimson, the Habsburg Emperor's brutal chief enforcer of morals, is meeting with a shadowy figure.
Welcome, Vice Admiral Landsgrab. Perhaps you could come out of the shadows so that I could see you better, and we could share some fine Rhine wine.
Forgive me, Count Crimson. My appearance is such that it often takes new acquaintances aback. I meant no disrespect.
Well, advance forth, then, and let's see the whole of you.
I'm afraid, good sir, that even at the best of times, you will only see half of me.
Odds bodkins! Where are your legs, man?
That is exactly the reaction I hope to avoid, Count Crimson. I lost my legs at sea. Huh? I did get a full promotion out of it.
Lord, did you have a mast fall on you?
No, it were a great beast, a whale, my count. I've sworn a bright revenge that one day I will catch that leviathan and tear my legs out of its infernal gullet. Only Prussian Junker science was able to provide me with this steam-powered metal undercarriage.
I see, Herr Landsgrab. The mechanism allows you to walk.
Well, only to roll, to be honest, Count Crimson.
To roll right over the Junker's enemies. Brilliant.
And on that score, I'm delighted to report that our Junker agents in the field have spotted two of the Schmalkaldic League bastards on their way here to Dortmundstadt. They'll be dead as dodos by morning.
Then we do have a most excellent reason to share a drink. Let me pour you a glass, Herr Landsgrab.
Delighted, if I say so myself, Count Crimson. Just have to be careful I don't spill the wine on me machinic nether regions. I do have a tendency to, well, rust.
Vice Admiral, shall we share a hearty, wicked laugh, partner?
Why not?
Meanwhile, in a nondescript inn and gasthouse east of Dortmundstadt, Aldo Kresplasian, Hungary's cunning king of puppets, is waiting for his Schmalkaldic partner, Mechtild of the Phantom Limb.
Well, Kresplasian, I've tethered the basilisk and given her a couple of goats to munch on. She'll sleep like a baby, especially since I was able to clear your spew off her back.
Sorry about that, Mechtild. I have, at least, been using the time here in our room wisely. It turns out that the Dortmundstadt Fabrikwerke is guarded only by the automata that they create there, not by men. The Fabrikwerke Kapellmeister, who runs the show, is a mad genius known as Ephraim Ezekiel Leibniz.
Blimey, I don't get on well with mad geniuses.
But I do, Mechtild. Takes one to know one. Now, we've got to get some sleep. Big day tomorrow.
You go ahead and bunk down. My fat limb's itching me something crazy, and I can take the first watch. I don't mind telling you I feel less than safe this far into Habsburg Principality.
I can solve both problems. I have just the thing to help you get to sleep. And as far as security goes, I built this self-actuating auto-marionette for such purposes. I call him Little Ernie.
I'll grant you he has big ears.
You know what they say, big ears, wooden heart. Hopefully you won't have to see what he can do, but he'll stand guard in the hall, and he can go all night.
I might be up all night myself. What do you say you've got for insomnia?
The answer with me is always wood. Perhaps a nice plank? Nighty-night.
Listener, what they say is true. The only greater threat to the Schmalkaldic League than their enemies are their own members. And now let's try this segue again. What about the adventure of Grimhilda, the psychosomatic poisoner?
You think I can't hear you, Laxaasas, you smug announcer, you. But Grimhilda hears all.
Well, just do your thing, Grimhilda, and don't be asleep when the listeners are expecting action and adventure, and you won't have to hear from me at all.
Very well. Let an expert do some exposition and sod off for a while, announcer.
Well, I never.
The announcer is much too much of a lame brain to know that I have already reconnoitered the security at Count Rudolph's chateau here in Mitz. Come to me, my ravens. You're not my ravens. Choo, choo. Now here come my ravens. That's Lederhosen. They've made off with the chickens.
Halt! Right there. Come no further. And in fact, have your ravens take 2 steps backward, just so we have a little room to breathe.
Halt! What do you mean, Machen? I'm here to see...
Not Machen, ma'am. This is an official uniform.
What? I thought this was a public park. Whom are you an official of?
Of the Count Rudolph Habsburg, ma'am. And, ma'am, you should address me as officer or guard.
Ach, and look, you've got a sparkling, lovely name tag with a name. My eyes are not what they used to be.
It's Stubbs, ma'am. Officer Guardia Stubbs or Guard Guardia Stubbs. But that's no good. It sounds like my title is a verb. Whenever I would meet a new miscreant on the Count's lands, I would introduce myself, only to have it sound like I'm asking the lawbreaker to guard Guardia Stubbs, who is me, by the way.
Oh, does your dog have a name?
That's Gaylord, the Dalmatian Pinscher. The other guards say the name is silly, but I take my inspiration from...
Gaylord, go to sleep.
Gaylord? What did you do there, ma'am? Was I supposed to be impressed by that?
No, not at all. When you get to be my age, you get used to a certain basic lack of respect.
And what age is that, little missy?
At last count I was 805, plus or minus 11 years. But there is an upside. I can put those hostile to me to sleep by just wiggling my pinky finger.
Well, put that pinky. In fact, your whole hand up. Actually, hands? Both hands. I've a weapon of some sort somewhere around here. And I'm not as stupid as the dog.
Guardia Stubbs, go to sleep.
Well, you'll have to arrest yourself, witch. I'm going to have a little lie down.
That's good. You do that.
Somehow I feel like this is going to show up in my next performance review.
I have a certain soporific power over dumb animals. Now, for Count Rudolph.
Hello, this Andre Sonopoulos, time-traveling Greek soldier. Men in charge. Reason why Trojan War actually fought.
Meanwhile,
Meanwhile, it's the middle of the night in a nondescript inn and gasthaus east of Dortmundstadt. Aldo Krasplasian, Hungary's cunning king of puppets, is unusually anxious.
I'll never get to sleep with Mechtilde's incessant and strident nose-harping. I wonder how little Irony is getting on. Who's that? Excellent work, little Irony. You can stop biting their nether regions now. Let me wind you back up, my puppet. There now. I'm just sorry that Mechtilde will never know just how effective of a bodyguard you are. Now perhaps I can get some shut-eye.
What's that you're saying about me?
Mechtilde, snoring away as you were, I assumed you were still asleep.
I haven't been asleep for hours, Krasplasian. Insomnia, you know.
Then what is that sawing sound? It's coming from under the floor!
Well, listener, it seems that Aldo Krasplasian and Mechtilde of the Phantom Limb have fallen for Count Crimson's speciality, the double bluff. Hopefully, they don't have too far to fall. But we must direct our attentions to a carriage stop just outside Vienna, where Countess von Yuxkill's golem butler, Mr. Dyer, is making certain arrangements for a double bluff from the Schmalkaldic League itself.
Excuse me, madam. Do I have the honor of addressing the Marchioness of Trobuckle?
Why, yes, but you're not my golem butler. Where is Mr. Parlis?
Indisposed, madam. He asked me, golem to golem, if I might escort you to your transfer carriage to Vienna.
But I don't know you from Adam. Mr. Parlis! Parlis, where are you?
I asked nicely, madam, if I might just touch the base of your neck.
No, you may not. Parlis! Parlis!
Excellent, Mr. Dyer. Bring her here.
It's getting very crowded in this carriage, Countess.
Indeed, but I see that I have chosen wisely in you, Teresa Gihorna. With Mr. Dyer's skill with maquillage in the French style, no one could tell the difference between you and our now-compliant Marchioness.
But I know nothing of the manners of high society, Countess.
Correct. That is why I must now touch your face in order to ever so slightly nudge your spirit aside.
For what purpose?
So that I may enter. Make room, make room!
Countess von Uxkull, may I remind you that every time you possess a body in this way without switching minds...
Yes, I know, Mr. Dyer, I know. I am well aware of it.
That the victim becomes more of a husk, less spirited, more hungry with each transgression.
Indeed, madam. We shall need to be careful that she doesn't become a vamp.
Enough, Mr. Dyer. Back to the driver's position with you. To Vienna, to the Habsburg. And do not spare the horses.
We whisk you back to Count Rudolph's chateau near Metz. Why has Rudolph, heir to the Habsburg throne, been consulting with Ephraim Ezekiel Leibniz, mad inventor? And why has Rudolph been out of the public eye for weeks? Can Grimhilda, the psychosomatic poisoner of Tartu, discover...
I can discover whatever you were about to say if you keep quiet, announcer. Can't you see I'm sneaking around here?
Well, you've certainly done a job on Count Rudolph's guards and retainers. The body trail you've left through the chateau is enough to put you in the running for Estonian Poisoner of the Month.
It's an honor. Now, hush, so that I can find and confront Count Rudolph. Otherwise, I'm likely to visit my tender and toxic mercies upon you, announcer. Now for this old clock. Aha! A secret passage. I can't see a damn thing. Light! I was right. Look at this trail of oil. And what's this? A cog? Precisely what I was expecting.
Precisely what were you expecting, Grimhilda of Tartu?
Count Rudolf. So my quarry reveals himself at last.
Cousin Charles and I have been aware of your pathetic Schmalkaldic League's interest in our work for some time.
Or, if not my quarry, at least a reasonable facsimile thereof.
Ha! Schmalkaldic League. It sounds as if someone is blowing their nose.
A problem you'll never face, foe Rudolf. Why not just admit it? The real Count Rudolf, Crown Prince of the Habsburg dynasty, went into the Dortmundstadt Fabrikwerk, but something else came out. You're just a pathetic piece of automata, an artificial Habsburg. Even your droning voice gives it away.
Nonsense. I merely have a speech defect from when I contracted the Black Plague as a young boy. At least you have half the truth, poisoner.
What do you mean?
I was not in Dortmundstadt being duplicated. I was there to share my detailed research. Let me lift the curtain on your failure of deduction, madam.
I am Grimhilda of Tartu, famous psychosomatic poisoner.
I am Mechthild of the Phantom Limb. I have no right arm.
You clearly have a right arm among all your rusted pistons and gears, you lunkhead.
The automata copies of Countess von Lückskill and Aldo Crosbasian are nearly finished. The disinformation they will spread among the Protestant princes will cause your allies to leave your side and mean the end of the Reformation itself.
I am Grimhilda of Tartu, and you, old witch, look a little green around the gills. Ach, you're using an automata version of my own powers against me. My stomach, my lungs.
Our visitor is weakened, automata. Now, Mechthild.
Yes, boss.
Destroy her.
Ravens! Ravens! To me! No, I said ravens! Just a devil is you! You chickens are idiots!
No! Not chickens! Birds of every feather are forbidden in the chateau! Keep them away from my automata!
No! The opposite! Go to the automata, my unrequested fowls.
No! Ach, my heart, no! The plague, it's coming back!
Foolish of you to pad out your automata by stuffing them with good Lorraine hops! Such a real treat for these chickens! I am really going to pieces of a system.
That pun was the last straw for me. Mechanical will to live.
Grimhilda, that's $10,000 worth of technology your chickens have ruined.
I agree that they ruined all this. The only problem is they're not my chickens. And now, adieu, adieu, and tell your cousin Charles up yours from me.
Grimhilda!
Well, listener, it certainly is exciting to see how Grimhilda, the psychosomatic poisoner, has turned the tables on the Crown Prince of the Habsburgs. She was always my favorite character in the Schmalkaldic League, by the way.
Oh, announcer, they say a lie will be halfway around the world before the truth can get its pants on.
Well, that's a fine how you do. You go and try to repair a relationship.
Get on with it.
Let's return, shall we, listener, to Dortmundstadt, the home of the Dortmundstadt Fabrikwerke. Trust me, it'll be more interesting than it sounds. And by the way, this is the sound of someone who is unconscious awakening. We learned it from the show ER.
And no ironic intertextuality.
Ah, it's Mechthild who's coming awake.
Oh, me head. The fall wasn't so bad, but I think I suffered a delayed loss of consciousness. And quite possibly a double concussion from Crossblazian hitting me with a piece of mahogany.
I keep that mahogany 2x4 for just that purpose. It's a family relic, handed down from my great-grandfather. It sent finer men than you to the land of Nod MacTield.
Well, if it isn't Aldo Crossblazian's, Hungary's cannon king of puppets. How come I can't see anything but a big white blur?
Ah, it was our captor's fault. Really, it had nothing to do with my hitting you.
You have to let your eyes adjust to the light. Your room was foolishly built between two buildings, your floor right above this alley. And a hacksaw hand was enough to extract you two.
Mercenaries, my honest and devoted servitor of old, come to rescue us. I knew that when they said your name would show your true nature, that weren't true.
Oh, it's totally true. I'm being tortured right now. Yep, tortured. Again.
Shut up, old man. MacTield, I'm no longer known as Mercenarius. Thanks to my previous involvement with the Schmalkaldic League, I lost my hand to the rusty scythe of East Poland, as you can see.
I'm right there with you, mate.
Now they call me Steel Fist.
And a lovely fist it is, too. That's my blood decorating it, by the way, MacTield.
After the Schmalkaldic League cast me aside in the gutters of Krakow, the Junkers found me, healed me in body and spirit.
That's enough about your personal peccadilloes, old goose liver. I can see now that you've got a whole Swiss army knife full of attachments for your stump. Fearsome, but not pretty.
Hey, that's a great idea, MacShields, for a new knife that can do 100 jobs with different fiddly bits that come out of it. Too bad the Swiss army was smashed by the forces of anti-Pope Bronx Mowgli at Clermont in 1522. Oh, now I think I'm getting delirious.
Now I am the Junker's chief eliminator of problems.
Come on, me old son, this isn't like you. Can't you see the Junkers are just having a toss with you? What about all the good times we had together? Well, anyway, the good times are heading to pubs while you waited outside with the basilisk. Oh, now I'm beginning to see why you might be a little bitter with me now.
Shut up, MacTild. I'll torture you later when I'm finished with Crossblazian.
Oh.
Don't worry, Aldo. If I can just reach my eel, I'll give it a squeeze.
You're a sick, sick man, MacTild.
We drift now from one theater of pain to another, namely to a regular social gathering at the Habsburg Dancing Palace in Vienna. Waltzing occurs, dwarf throwing and lycanthropy are debated, and in the shadowed corners, rolls of dice and sundry other games of chance decide the fate of nations. Arriving couples are announced at the door by the golem majordomo, but one reckless, unmarried woman before her time insists on attending events of state unchaperoned. She is...
the Marchioness Troubuckle.
Princess Margaret of Parma. Behold that vision of loveliness passing through the entranceway to the palazzo.
As the agent general of his Emperor Charles.
He who is otherwise known as your father, yes.
Within that role, I must ignore accidents of beauty or ugliness in pursuit of the truth.
That's right. How quickly I forget that you're your dad's chief executioner. Dirty hands, my lady. Dirty hands.
Not all of us are content to squirm into and out of our responsibilities, Count Crimson. Sometimes blood must be spilt.
The only problem, listener, is that the Marchioness Troubuckle is not the Marchioness of Troubuckle. Instead, she's a lookalike, a ringer, a doppelganger, a replica, a facsimile.
Yes, get on with it.
Yes, get on with it.
As you'll remember from the last pulse-pounding episode, listener, the faux Marchioness is actually a young villager, Teresa, who's an unwilling and unholy recruit of the Schmalkaldic League. Let's tap into her mental processes now as she steps into the lion's den of the Habsburg court.
It's so beautiful and terrifying at the same time. For me, Teresa Gihorna, who has never been farther than Eiffelheim, to be here at the royal court in Vienna.
Stay on target. I need to get you within earshot of Count Crimson. He's the Saturnine dandy in the corner, speaking with the Emperor's daughter and finest torturer, Margaret of Parma. and her chief lackey, Stanislav.
I'm too afraid.
Never you mind. I will use my powers to guide your body, and I will speak through you. Now, let us step once more onto the bridge. Ooh, I like that phrase. Mr. Dyer, write it down.
Ah, Marcianus Trobuckle. What an unexpected pleasure.
Count Crimson. Oh, you're kissing my hand. How goes the persecution of French Huguenot of Nancy?
Stanislav, lend Trobuckle a doily to wipe her hand.
Here you are, Marchioness, your grace. It's only a slightly soiled doily.
The Marchioness is well informed for a private citizen.
No need to worry, your highness. The Emperor long ago took me into his confidence during the luncheons he and I often took by the Danube. For example, I'm well aware that the inventor Ephraim Ezekiel Leibniz of Dormenstadt has been working with the Habsburg court to manufacture automata duplicates of the imperial family. For what reason, I cannot fathom, but...
Marchioness, my father Charles may have been offering you sweet nothings by the river, but they truly are nothings.
That's right. The Dornmannstadt fabric worker hasn't been producing artificial Habsburgs, and there is no Ephraim Ezekiel Leibniz.
Stanislav, what have I been saying about inside voice and motor mouth and etc.?
Perhaps we've said enough on this topic. Marchioness, might I have your hand for this dance?
Well, I'm not sure that I should, Count.
You're doing excellently, Theresa. Accept his offer. Just let me handle everything.
But listener, no sooner had Countess von Juxkull, slightly mad mistress of the ancient Stuba changer abilities, agreed to handle everything than she found that she had too much to handle. We change scenes to a carriage stop a few miles outside Vienna, where Mr. Dyer, the Countess's golem butler, has just received a warning from a most unexpected source.
Countess, madam, an e-alert has been activated.
Find out whose eel it is, and quiet, I'm trying to concentrate.
Finally, the mistress's idea to carry a barrel of psychic Rostock occult eels has paid off. Each of our eels is psychopathologically connected with its eel twin. By simply carrying an eel around in their lederhosen, each Schmalkaldic League member can reach us in times of great peril. Aha, I've got you. This is MacTield of the Phantom Limb's eel, mistress.
Now what could make MacTield squeeze his eel? Mr. Dyer, come here. I'm going to have to put you in a different driver's seat for a while.
Needs must when the devil drives, madam.
Back in the Dortmundstadt Fabrikwerke factory, dedicated to making automata duplicates of everyday people like you and me, Aldo Krasplasian, Hungary's cunning king of puppets, is all tied up.
You may have been MacTield's friend and retainer in the past, Mercenarius.
Like I said, call me Steel Fist.
Now there's no need to keep breaking cranks. And I demand to see the owner of this factory, Ephraim Ezekiel Leibniz, before I am tortured even once more. Right, MacTield?
Excellent stalling technique, Aldo. I did manage to squeeze my eel.
They've tied me down so that I can't reach mine. But help is on the way.
Ha ha ha! Cretins! The inventor Leibniz is just a synonym for my real employer.
I'm pretty sure you mean pseudonym, not synonym.
Yeah, Aldo, that's right.
But synonym just means the same as, right?
Right.
Right.
So Ephraim Ezekiel Leibniz means the same thing as...
No, you've got it all wrong. You always did have a problem with parts of speech. Synonym only applies to nouns, not proper nouns.
But isn't nim from the Greek onuma or name?
True, but you wouldn't have a complete equivalency of meaning if you were using a synonym, which literally means with the name from the Greek. Your employer, whoever he is...
Whomever he is?
Righto. Whomever he is using Leibniz as a false name or a pseudonym. Again, the Greek gives it all away.
Wait. Perhaps I'm using the word synonym wrong. What's a synonym for synonym?
I think I enjoyed the torture more than this conversation, frankly. Little Irony,
Now that is a plucky little machina, by the deuce.
Call it off! It's an infernal device!
That's right, Lyrny, my puppet! Pursue, and don't stop until his nether regions are cube space!
Brilliant. This will give us time to slip our bonds. Unaware of my phantom limb, our foe tied me down as if I had all my arms and legs. More luck to us, I say.
Although my steel fist has been routed, you're not out of trouble yet, Schmalkollikligers.
Vice Admiral Landsgrab of the Junkers.
Well, what's a synonym for sh?
It seems that Mechtild of the Phantom Limb and Aldo Crasplasian can only go from frying pan to fire, listener. But have no fear. Thanks to Mechtild's eel alert, the Schmalkaldic League's indefatigable leader, Countess von Yuxkill, has alerted her compatriot, Grimhilda the Psychosomatic Poisoner, to their plight.
Well, I've clearly caused enough havoc here in Metz. The eel alert. I can just get this little bastard out of my dress and put you to my ear. Mechtild and Crasplasian are in trouble in Dortmundstadt. Those ham-fisted bun vendors. Now, where's my broom? Ah, Gaylord, the Dalmatian pincher has it. Now, who's a good boy? Don't you hate your name and want to stick it to the people who gave it to you by giving me my broom back?
It right there, Grimhilda. And Gaylord, don't you even think of changing your name back to Rollo.
Well, well, Garth Guardia stops. We've woken up from our little unscheduled nap, have we?
That little soporific stunt you pulled cost me 3 demerits, and I lost my afternoon smoke break.
It's good to know you're worried about working conditions rather than the evil villain at the heart of this whole robot duplicate conspiracy. And he's your employer.
Who? Count Rudolph? If anything, that secret had been going on here at the Count's chateau, I'm sure I would have known about it.
Oh, I'm sure you would have heard.
Anyway, I forgot what I stopped you for, before you cast an evil spell and put me and Gaylord here to sleep as against our will. For all I know, you've messed with my memories too. For all I know, you've messed with my memories too. So, technically, you haven't done anything wrong but trespassing? Great Hecate, what's that?
What a mess! I'll be needing my broom if I'm to help clean that mess up.
That's very noble of you. You're just a passing stranger who accidentally trespassed. And you're going to help clean up the disaster at the chateau?
No, I think you misheard me. Just need the distraction to get away.
Hey, you! This isn't the last I've seen of you, whatever your name was, but your face is burned into my memory. Well, I remember you had the white hair. Keep lookout for the woman with the white hair, I'll order Gaylord. Hey, where is Gaylord? Gaylord? Here, puppy.
Back in Vienna, a reluctant Teresa Gihorna is trying to convince Count Crimson that she's the Marchioness Trobuckle, and she is aided by an equally reluctant golem, Mr. Dyer.
Might I say that you dance elegantly, Marchioness?
You might, once we reach the dance floor, Count. Countess von Uxkill, are you there? I can't dance.
Ah, yes. Due to unexpected transmission difficulties, we've had a break in service there. Normal programming now resumes.
What are you talking about?
The Countess has been called away. but I can help you with the dancing.
Really? As a butler, do you do much dancing?
Sadly, no. But I am an avid reader of the weekly broadsheet Golem Beat, the number one magazine for golem teenagers. One of its features are pull-out posters showing the footsteps for the latest dance moves, like the immobile three-step.
Is there a plan B?
From the sidelines, Margaret of Parma and her torturously torturing dwarf Stanislav observe with interest.
You know, Stanislav, we have seen some pretty grim scenes in our years of work for my father. But this may very well take the proverbial cake. The Count's new dance partner seems to think she should flap her arms like a chicken does.
Why is the Marchioness slapping the Count on his backside, mistress?
I have no idea, but Crimson seems to like it. It compensates for the fact that she keeps stepping on his boots.
And yet it sounds as if she's the one in pain.
Or perhaps just having a lovely time. Well, let's allow the Count to get on with his latest conquest. We have that jigsaw puzzle to finish.
Really?
Of course not, Dolt. We have to get back to our torturing people.
As it turns out, they left just in time. We announcers call it the luck of the recurring villain. To find out why, let's check in with Ascanio Trombetti, inventor of the trombone, and owner of the villa in Venice that houses the secret headquarters of the Schmalkaldic League.
Hey, who has stolen my new invention, the in and outgoing cow summoner? Che te posino ammazza?
And back to Vienna, where Mr. Dyer is still giving villager Teresa Gahorna inappropriate dance lessons, while the Countess von Jukskill has just unlimbered a strange and sinuous brass instrument, or could it be a weapon, from the back of her traveling carriage and is hoofing it toward the Habsburg Dancing Palace.
I truly hope Signor Trombetti is none too pained by my borrowing his in and outgoing cow summoner. Seeing it in his studio gave me the idea to pack it with an explosive chemical mixture of my own.
Countess, I'm losing control of our false Marchioness. Apparently the dance called the Drunken Giraffe is not common currency at the Habsburg court.
Mr. Dyer, hold on as long as you can. If what I learned from our comrade McTeal's alert is correct, she may be in far greater danger than I could have ever predicted, surrounded by deadly automata.
Artificial Habsburgs, just as you suspected, mistress.
Oh, stupid Parisian shoes! Insolent Moravian party dress! Oh, now I can really run. I'm getting closer.
And if you weren't gripped enough by that, listener, let's see what happens when Mechtild and Aldo Kresplasian, Hungary's cunning king of puppets, are confronted by the Junker Vice Admiral Landsgrab at the Dortmund Stadtfabrikwerke.
See if you can recall little Ernie Kresplasian. And look, through the leaded glass skylight, it's Grimilda, the psychosomatic poisoner of Tartu, on her broom.
Now that's an entrance.
And here's what I do for an encore.
I'm free.
Not thinking of leaving us quite so soon, Schmalkaldic leaguers. I can outpace even the fastest magical broom with my moving undercarriage made of Junker technology.
Mercenary, Steelfist told us he was now working for the Junkers, the most powerful psychotic landowners in Prussia.
What's that you're holding in your cruel pinchers, Vice Admiral? Little Ernie?
And now the secret's out, Vice Admiral. Once he tells the Junkers' Protestant allies, and especially your bankers, about your dalliance with Emperor Charles, you'll be finished.
That would be true, if you were allowed to leave this establishment. But my own automatic modifications are considerably more deadly than those of my pawn, Steelfist. Observe as I crush your puppet.
Well, Landsgrab, I'd congratulate you, but I think you started to celebrate too early.
What do you mean?
I mean, those red wine stains on the front of your doublet.
Absurd. I do not drink wine. If I spilled but a drop, it would rust my gears and pistons.
But you did spill a drop. Many drops, in fact.
I did not. Wait, perhaps I did. No!
The only question is, will your automatic chassis and wheels seize up? Or, as is more likely, will they run completely out of your control?
Oh, I fear the latter.
I may not have even one of my original teeth in my head, but as a psychosomatic poisoner, I've still got it.
And that leaves only one plot thread to be resolved, listener. We dash back to Vienna, where Countess von Yuxkill, with Ascanio Trombetti's modified musical invention in hand, sends a desperate psychic plea to her golem butler.
Mr. Dyer, I'm just around the corner from the dance hall. In precisely 10 seconds, you need to convince our faux marchioness to fall prone.
But she's in the embrace of Count Crimson, madam. He really can be quite tender in his way.
Then take them both down. Greetings from the Schmalkaldic League, metallic imbeciles. Say hello to my little in-and-outgoing call summoner.
Countess von Oxkill?
Teresa, I am so glad that you are safe. Your date, Count Crimson, seems to have hit his head on the floor.
Why did you have to kill all these people?
People? Nonsense. These are merely automata. The Habsburgs have been in bed with the Junkers to replace their court with robots.
No, not actually true. Look again.
Oh, I seem to have made a decisive mistake.
One that, if I may observe, mistress, will make you and the entire Schmalkaldic League the primary targets of Emperor Charles' revenge.
What was that you used on them?
Merely an Italian's in-and-outgoing cow summoner, with a few special modifications of my own. Ironically, it has reduced all of the party guests to...
Please don't say it, ma'am. You'll never forgive yourself.
To their trombones.
Another adventure is brought to a close, listener. But fear not, the Schmalkaldic League will return. So thanks for listening today. We would like to thank our wonderful cast, Nancy Roth, Ann Porter, Steve Lloyd, Jody Stewart-Strobel, Garrett LaRue, Davis Hill, Liz Rognas, Nisha Schramm, Tony Flynn, and Kevin Decker.
We'd also like you to consider the moral of today's episode. All power corrupts, but does it corrupt enough?